This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salawatullahi wa salamuhu ala nabiyyihil kareem, alayhi afdalu salatu wa atamu taslim. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yasirli amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I will change the captions in front of me because I noticed that that is wrong. We'll go with that. All right, there we go. Forgive me for the delayed start. I was actually reading and completely lost track of the time and didn't realize I was supposed to be on already. So forgive me for that. We'll keep the session today nice and light, inshallah. In fact, this is the third to last class that we're going to have. So tonight is the 28th night, which means we have the 29th tomorrow and the 30th night, and that's pretty much it. So two more classes and we're done. Our series going through the entire Quran, which also means that we are pretty much at the end of the month of Ramadan, very close to it. But we're not there yet, so don't give up. Keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Keep pushing for, khair. Keep trying to attain higher levels of paradise and forgiveness and rewards from Allah azza wa jal. And Allah will give that to us, no doubt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ud'uni, call upon me, istajib lakum, and I will answer you. So that's important, my brothers and sisters. All right, we'll get right into Surah Al-Mujadila. Okay, Surah Al-Mujadila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us something really interesting at the beginning of this surah. Really, really interesting. He says, and I'll recite this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوَرُكُمَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ Allah has indeed heard the argument of the woman who pleaded with you, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning her husband. Who was this woman? She is, as we see in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khuwaylah bint Tha'laba radiallahu anha, complained to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about her husband, Aws ibn Samit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard the complaint of her, right? He heard her complaint and he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that she has been heard, right? So he says, Allah has heard your exchange. Surely Allah is all hearing, all seeing. And then he says, those of you who sinfully divorce their wives by comparing them to their mothers. And this was something that was done in early or pre-Islam times, right? During the time of Jahiliyyah, during the time, as we say, that time of ignorance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that they used to divorce their wives by saying that, by basically saying a statement like, comparing them to their mother. And that meant like, I no longer need you anymore. But our mothers are very different than our wives, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those of you who sinfully divorce their wives by comparing them to their mothers should know that their wives are in no way their mothers. None can be their mothers except those who gave birth to them. What they say is certainly detestable and false, yet Allah is ever pardoning, all forgiving. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, as we see here, he says, wa inna Allaha la'afuun ghafoor. And we know this word very well, afu, because we've been asking for it throughout this entire month of Ramadan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-afu, and he's also al-ghafoor. And just because someone does something wrong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing it out, that you might do something that's wrong, but if you ask for forgiveness and you seek pardoning, then don't worry, that's there for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving and does forgive us. So we need to learn what's right and what's wrong and stay away from that which is wrong. And we're going to see a few examples of divorce throughout this entire surah. In fact, we're going to be looking through Surah At-Talaq as well. But there are some who will say, oh, I don't need you, you're just like my mother, or, Subhanallah, what we mean by, what a person means, not we, but what a person means by you're just like my mother, is like, you know, you're haram for me, as in I can't marry you, right? I can't be married to you. And so that's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is, you know, belittling the mother. Why belittle the mother? And that's not saying that, you know, we're belittling the mother and the wife is not relevant or the wife is not important. No, the wife is important, but the mother is even more important, no doubt. The mother to anyone, whether husband or wife, is more important because she took care of us and she looked after us and she was pregnant with us and she bore us and she, you know, went through the labor and so on and so forth. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out the importance there of not doing this, and do not treat your spouse in a way that she or he is not going to be pleased with you or pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should say as well. And that's where, you know, when it comes to marriage, we should try our best to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. Because when we take away from that and we start to do what we feel is right and what we feel is best, that's where the marriage usually falls apart. Or that's where the marriage takes us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll see examples of how Allah tells us that here in this juz as well. Let's move to Surah Al-Hashr. Surah Al-Hashr, verse number 18. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. He says, O believers, be mindful of Allah and let every soul look to what deeds it has sent forth for tomorrow. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ, and every single one of us, our own selves, should look, مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ, what have you set for tomorrow? What are you presenting to Allah when you come before Him? And fear Allah, wattaqullah, for certainly Allah is all aware of what you do. So be aware that if we do what is wrong and we are presenting Allah things that are not heavy on the scale in terms of goodness, or things that are, you know, bad sins, mistakes that we make, mistake is not really the greatest word, but sins, when we're presenting that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to be careful. So Allah says, be mindful, be careful of Allah, right? Think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment when you're doing something. Is that really what you want to receive if you do something that's wrong? And so a person will naturally go and do what is right. He then says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. And do not be like those who forgot Allah. So he made them forget themselves. Right? So those who forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah makes it such that they themselves, فَأَنسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ, that they forget themselves, as in they're not conscious of their own, you know, well-being. They're not conscious of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not conscious of giving account. They're not conscious and aware of, you know, whether they're going to be going to Jannah or Jahannam. فَأَنسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them forget within themselves, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ, it is they who are truly rebellious, right? Those are the ones who are rebellious. Effects of the 27th night. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 20,
لَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يستوي أصحاب النار. That the people of Jahannam, they are not the same in terms of rank and level. وأصحاب الجنة, as the people of paradise. People of paradise and people of Jahannam, they're not at the same level. And so we know very well that the people of Jahannam, what they will have, and the people of Jannah, what they will have. We went through that. We took some lessons from Surah Ar-Rahman. Those of you who were online with us last night, you heard the recitation of Surah Ar-Rahman by Sheikh Hudhaifa. So that was there, you know, for us to enjoy listening to, but also to understand what a person would get in Jannah, what the rewards will be for us in Jannah. So he says, لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة. أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. The people of paradise, the residents of paradise, they will be the ones, they are the ones who are successful. Then he says, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن, and if we were to send down this Quran, على جبل, upon a mountain. And when you think of it, a mountain is like from the strongest of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of firmness. Like it's there, it holds the earth together, right? It's something that holds the crusts of the earth together, you know, the plates and so on, the shifting of it. We know that, you know, the mountains, when they the plates when they shift form mountains. So you have the mountains there, they're firm, they're stuck into the ground. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. You would have certainly seen it. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. You would have certainly seen it humbled and torn apart in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? لرأيته خاشعا, like خشوع. When you're praying your salah and you have خشوع, right? Devotion, humble, satisfaction, that you're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا رَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا, right? That it would be torn apart, مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. It would humble itself and it would crumble, right? Because of its humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And its awe with the might and greatness and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. He says, we set forth such comparisons for people so perhaps they may reflect. The Qur'an itself is not just a book. You know, last night I was sitting down and I was thinking to myself, you know, of the permissibility of taking the Qur'an and placing it on the floor, and you know, how some cultures, you know, people have a lot of respect for the Qur'an. And they will place it up high on the shelves and not put anything above it, even on the bookshelves, not even on a higher shelf, but nothing on any higher shelf. It'll be on the highest shelves, and a lot of respect. And some people take the Quran and kiss it. Of course, these things are not from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't even take an oath by the Quran. We take an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, Allah shows us that the Qur'an itself is so amazing, so powerful, so beneficial, so useful, while at the same time such a powerful reminder and a warning to those of us who are going to go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Qur'an itself is so unique that if it was to come down upon a mountain, لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Right? Out of the awe or fear or awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's great and power and might. We move on, inshallah. I need to open the lamp. I forgot to open it and the sun is going down. It's more than just a lamp. It's like a super, super bright spotlight. Okay. And it gets brighter and brighter as it warms up. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us to Surah. Let's go to Surah As-Saff. Okay, let's go to Surah As-Saff. At the very beginning. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. Whatever is in the heavens and the earth, and whatever is on earth, glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sabbaha, tasbih, right, is praising, glorifying Allah. And we are to also glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a regular basis, right? So we glorify Allah azza wa jal.
Sabbih isma rabbika al-a'la. Sabbaha lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim, right? Sabbaha.
So we do tasbih and tusabbihillah, to praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the heavens and the earth and all that it contains glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for He alone is the Almighty, the All-Wise. He then says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O believers, O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفَعَلُونَ Why is it that you say things that you don't actually do yourselves?
كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ
How despicable is it in the sight of Allah that you say that which you don't do? And it's so true. I think every single one of us knows this, and we've seen examples of it in our lives. How when we see someone saying something and they don't do it themselves, we probably lose so much respect for them. You know, this is one thing that I fear a lot within myself, is that I try to make sure, as a teacher, we've been taught, you need to do the things that you are going to teach others. Don't just teach others. And so it's very difficult, very challenging, subhanAllah. You know, a lot of the time when you're studying Islam, you ask yourself this question, am I actually fit for this? Like, can I actually carry this deen forward within myself? Forget about teaching it to others. Can you carry it forward within yourself? Are you able to carry this deen? And this is why you'll see sometimes people will study Islam and not teach it to others. But that doesn't mean that they've lost out. Just because they're not teaching it to others means they're taking it and implementing it in their lives and trying their best to work on themselves first, because it's so hard and so difficult, my brothers and sisters. And I was talking to another imam earlier today, and he was saying, you know what, it would be so beautiful if we could just go to like remote areas of Canada, remote areas of wherever we choose to live, and to just start and establish a small community there and just work on our own selves. Look at that. This is an imam, you know, who's working with a very big masjid, subhanAllah, and he was saying, it would be so nice if we could just go away and just be in remote little towns, you know, small little areas, and just work from the ground up, establishing not just a masjid, but establishing Islam within the community, right? Establishing Islam within the community. A lot of our parents, maybe grandparents for some of you, came to Canada and established masajid. And that's good and great, and I love that. Alhamdulillah, we take advantage of those masajid all the time, right? And we wish to go back into the masjid. You know, since yesterday, a lot of people have been messaging me, can we come to the masjid? Can we come to the masjid? We can't just let everyone come into the masjid. Sadly, you know, and I hate to do this as well. Some people say, oh, you know, if I donate certain amount of money, can I come and pray two rak'ah in the masjid? I would love for you to come and pray two rak'ah in the masjid, but we can't open the door to every single person. And at the end of the day, I'm not the one who's making these decisions, right? We have to go with the flow as well. We're not the ones who are up in charge, fully in charge, right? So Allah is showing us here, you know, we have to be people that carry that message forward and live the example, as was the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would live the example of being the Prophet. And he would live the example of being a Muslim. And he would live the example of being a believer, a mu'min. And that's important for us. We can't just come and say one thing and then go and do something else. And you'll notice the few times that you might have met someone or known someone or interacted with someone who it was established, that you've established it, that they've said something and then gone and done something else, you probably lose a lot of respect for them, right? You lose a lot of respect for them. And so Allah is technically protecting us here as well, that, you know, people will notice this in you and they will lose respect for you. why would you want to, you know, put yourself down in that way? So Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Why is it that you say that which you do not do? Right? And it's a reminder for us that we need to continue to, you know, say what is good and true and right. Let's move on to Surah Al-Jum'ah. I mean, Jum'ah is technically suspended, so we'll move to Surah Al-Taghabun. Okay, Surah Al-Taghabun. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to come back to Jum'ah and have our Jum'ah prayers. I was messaged by another imam on the other side of the world earlier today. He sent me a voice message. He was like, Assalamu alaikum, I haven't seen you in a long time, you know, since the last time he was in Canada. And he was asking me how things are here. And he was asking how we are making do with Jum'ah during this pandemic. And I was like, SubhanAllah, look at that. He's in his own country dealing with his thing. And he's asking me over here what we are going through and how we're dealing with not having Jum'ah. So I responded to him in a voice message and I said, it's actually been a couple months. It's been months since we've gone to the masjid for Jum'ah. It's been months since we've gone for Jum'ah. And we know very well, as Muslims, we do not miss Jum'ah. You cannot miss Jum'ah. You miss three Jum'ahs, there's a serious issue with you, right? But we are not missing Jum'ah. We are not intentionally missing Jum'ah. My brothers and sisters, I'm sure when Jum'ah reopens, we are all going to want to flood into the masjid. And sadly, I'm pretty sure that when we do open, based on the guidelines, the provincial guidelines, is that it will probably be restricted to a certain number, right? So even when we open, like five times more Muslims are going to want to come to the masjid and pray their prayer, but we won't be able to accommodate, right? So we have to take it easy. We have to be patient with it. We are not neglecting Jum'ah. We are not intentionally, you know, turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are doing what we can within the certain circumstances that we are currently going through. However, we're not supposed to be discussing anything about Surah Al-Jum'ah. I wanted to go straight to Surah At-Taghabun, which is the 64th surah of the Quran, and let's go to verse number 14. Surah At-Taghabun, verse number 14. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. O believers, which means we need to pay attention. Whenever we hear Allah say, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O believers, do you believe? If you believe, it's like Allah is saying, O Muhammad, O Aisha, O Fatima, O Zainab, O Abdullah, O, you know, so-and-so person. Hey, wake up, pay attention. It's like Allah is calling out to us, Dawood, listen up, right? Dawood, listen up. So someone is mentioning something on the chat there on Facebook, Muhammad Iqbal. We do have people outside of the masjid from 9 o'clock until 11:30. Every single night throughout the nights of Ramadan, there is someone there that is collecting donations and sadaqat. Our volunteers are there. So you can pass by the masjid to give your sadaqah. It's not just donations to the masjid, sadaqah as well, to give your zakah and so on and so forth. So please do head out there if anyone is interested in paying in person or filling out a pledge form or giving a check. Okay, so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwan lakum fahdharuhum wa in ta'fu wa tasfahu wa taghfiru fa inna allaha ghafurur rahim. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O believers, indeed some of your spouses. And he's not saying to the men that your wives, right? He's saying, hey, men, your wives. Women, your husbands, right? Your spouses and your children are enemies to you. So beware of them. Well, my wife just walked in. As soon as I said that verse, my wife walks in. I got to be careful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwan lakum fahdharuhum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so beware of them. I gotta watch my back. But if you pardon, overlook, and forgive their faults, then Allah is truly all-forgiving, most merciful. Now, there's a number of things that we can tie into this. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us that, you know, from the things that distract us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are our spouses, our wealth, our children. And we see in the very next verse, Allah says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your wealth and your children are only a test, but Allah alone has a great reward. So our wealth, our children, they're a test. Our spouses, our children, they are an enemy to us. And it's not an enemy per se, as in like, oh, they're evil and they're bad. No. But sometimes we create problems for ourselves. Like, why are you going to argue with someone else for no reason? Why are you creating a scene? Why are you raising your voice? Why are you punching a wall, which we're not supposed to be doing, right? But some people get really angry. They get all frustrated and they need to get that energy out, right? So they go to the punching bag or they go to the gym or they do some push-ups. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us, calm down, sit down, lay down, make wudu, relax, take it easy. Right? We are not enemies of each other. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that some of your spouses and children are enemies to you. Why? Beware of them. They will take you away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And so someone who takes us away from Allah, according to Allah, that is one of the biggest crime. In fact, no, not one of. That is the big shirk, going away from Allah, rejecting Allah, right? What's the word I'm looking for? Disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Big, big sin, right? Especially when we commit shirk, if we're going away from Allah and rejecting Allah, that is the biggest crime, the biggest crime. And when we say an enemy to us, why is someone an enemy? Why is someone bad? Why is someone considered an enemy? Because they commit crimes, right? So someone who's going to take you away from Allah, that's what you need to be careful of. And Allah doesn't say all of your wives and all of your children. Allah says some, in min azwajikum, from the category of spouses. And it's not wives, correction, it's because I'm a man, so I said wife, right? Spouses, okay? That your spouse, and it's your husband. For sisters, your husband. If your husband is taking you away from Allah, then he is the criminal, right? If your husband is someone who is making you miss Salat al-Fajr, then he is doing something wrong. Be careful. He's your enemy, right? Who's the enemy? The enemy is shaitan. What does shaitan want to do? Shaitan wants to take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Takes us away from the remembrance of Allah azza wa jal. And so my brothers and sisters, anytime something takes us away. And you notice Allah mentions your spouse and your children. Why? Because they're so dear to us that we would give anything of this dunya for them. But Allah's warning us, don't give your iman. Don't give your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't give your time that you're supposed to be worshipping away to someone else. Give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers and sisters, remember, our spouses, even the husband, can be the enemy of his wife. Why? Because he takes her away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says, Wallahu indahu ajrun azim. Right? There is a great reward with Allah if we do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. Let's go to Surah At-Talaq. Okay? Surah At-Talaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, Surah At-Talaq is titled the Surah of Divorce. Okay? It is the divorce. At-Talaq, the divorce. Now, I could talk for until the end of the year about different divorce cases that have come to me and different things that I've seen and how people deal with things and so on and so forth. However, I'm not going to do that. We'll take some examples. But let's look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says first, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَطَلِّقُوهُنَّ لِعِدَّتِهِنَّ وَأَحْصُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Prophet, instruct the believers when you intend to divorce your wife, right? When you intend to divorce your wife, then divorce them with concern for their waiting period, as in be aware of their menstrual cycle and count it accurately and fear Allah, your Lord. Do not force them out of their home. So this first part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us not to divorce our wife while she is observing her period, her menstrual cycle. And during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhumah, he divorced his wife while she was on her period. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, commanded him to take her back and wait until her period is done. And if then he wants to divorce her, then he can divorce her. Basically telling us that the divorce during the period is invalid. The divorce during a period is invalid. It does not count as a divorce. Okay. And a person can say, okay, you know, once the divorce is done, then no. Now, I'll give you an example. I've dealt with so many cases that, how can I say this? I've dealt with a case where the husband refused to divorce his wife, but would only divorce her while she had her period. So every single time she had her period, he would divorce her. And she's like, okay, khalas, I'm divorced. And he's like, no, because divorce. And then after the period ended, he'd say, no, you come back. You're still my wife. You can't leave. So he kept playing games with her. Like, no, you're divorced. No, you're not divorced. Sorry, I went to this imam. So he would go to an imam, and the imam would say, no, she's not divorced because, you know, she had her period. So she's like, okay, I have to come back. And this was a very, like, nasty marriage, subhanAllah. There was, like, physical violence and so on. So what happened there was, you know, the case came to me, and he would always go to another imam and then come back to her, and then another imam, and she would come back, and another imam and come back. And then I was like, this is playing games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The divorce is valid. Right? The divorce is valid. Why? Because I asked other scholars and I was like, this guy's playing games. So at this point in time, sometimes an imam will have to step in and say, look, the divorce is valid. Now the brother's like, no, what do you mean the divorce is valid? Like, aha, you see? Now you're scared because you thought that you could just keep playing games. And Allah doesn't want you to play games. That's another person's life that you're dealing with. You're messing with her feelings. You're messing with her emotions. You're messing with her family. You're messing with everything that she's going through in her life, completely turning everything upside down. Now the brother, he's like, now he's on the defense, right? When I said that, he's on the defense. He's like, whoa, what do you mean? No, you're the first one who said this. I'm like, yeah, because people don't know what you're doing. You never told those other imams what you're doing. You're messing around. You can't mess around with someone else. Now he's scared. He's like, okay, so that's one divorce, right? Now he's worried, right? So subhanAllah, you see here, my brothers and sisters, sometimes when you just turn the table, right? Go sit on the other side. See what it's like, right? Put yourself in the shoes of the other person and see how they feel. All of a sudden things change, right? And so that was something that, you know, we see and witness, and it happens. You know, it happens. People do this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not force them out of your homes, nor should you leave them. Like, don't just abandon them. Unless they commit a blatant misconduct, unless they've done something completely bad, then yeah, you can turn away from them and then deal with it in the way that we see is befitting within the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, these are the limits set by Allah, and whoever transgresses Allah's limits has truly wronged his own soul. You never know. Perhaps Allah will bring about change of heart later on. And this is true. Sometimes a person divorces, right? And then they realize, you know what, this isn't right. And they try and take them back, and they get back together. And then they start to argue again. And then they spend some time apart. And this is why you'll notice to spend the iddah is a time where, okay, you're apart from each other. There are two things that can happen. And I've seen this, and I'll share it with you. One is that the people, the husband and wife, are spending time apart. It's so abnormal. They actually truly, like, they really do love each other. And they hate the fact that they're apart. And so they come right back together. Or the complete opposite. They don't like each other. And they grow apart, and they just go and do their own thing, right? They live their own lives, and they just grow apart. And it comes to a point in time where they're like, you know what, we don't even need to be married. We realize that. And so let's just get divorced. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا بَلَغْنَا أَجَلَهُنَّ And then when they have almost reached the end of their waiting period, see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you're going to divorce her. You know, there's a waiting period. Go through the waiting period. But when they've almost reached the end of it, right, nearing the end of it, either retain them honorably, as in try to do islah. Take a break from each other, right? But still remain within the home. Remember, my brothers and sisters, when someone divorces someone else, you don't just leave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't force them out of their homes, nor should they leave. You get divorced, you stay together until the iddah is over. Why? Because it's very hard for two people to stay living in the same house and not have, you know, feelings come back to them or think, you know what, this person actually is good and start to forgive. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the importance of forgiveness. We just saw earlier, right, in the previous ayat. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then retain them honorably or separate from them honorably. If you're not going to be married to each other, then do it in an honest, just way. Call two reliable witnesses, right? Have two people who will come and be a witness and let them witness and bear true testimony for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that divorce in itself, as much as Allah doesn't like it, if we do it according to the way Allah wants it to be conducted, it is an act of ibadah. Divorce is an act of ibadah. It's an act of worship. Why? Because we're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, so it becomes an act of ibadah. This is enjoined on whoever has faith in Allah and the last day. So listen to these instructions and do that. If you are in that situation, do it in an honorable, you know, truthful way, very, very nice way, respectfully. And remember, if you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last day, that you'll be standing before Allah giving account, then you'll do it in the right manners. And whoever is mindful of Allah, He will make a way out for them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you ease, whether you stay together or you live apart. That is all that we will take for today, inshallah ta'ala, my brothers and sisters. I wanted to actually finish a little bit earlier to open it up for some questions. If anyone has any questions, please feel free to ask. I know that we're nearing the end of the month of Ramadan and people have questions about Ramadan and Eid and so on. I'm going to be releasing a video, inshallah. There's no rush to have the video. Trying to make sure that that comes out in the proper manner. But if anyone has any questions right now, feel free to ask. I will just toss this aside so that I could see the chat on the other platforms. Okay, so if anyone has any questions, feel free to ask. Il n'y a pas de questions. Amin wa iyakum, Zoha. Allah yubarak fiik. Jazakum Allah khairan for the beautiful dua. Alhamdulillah. Why did I skip Surah Al-Jum'ah? Because I skipped a few ayat, quite a few ayat and quite a few surahs. You know, we only just took a little bit of it. If you look through what we took tonight, I skipped a number of surahs, and we are going to skip through more surahs tomorrow and skip through even more the day after tomorrow, on the last day, because the surahs are getting shorter and shorter and shorter, right? So we're taking lessons from here and there. We can't take every single one of the surahs or every single one of the ayat. How do you pay fitrah? So if you have not already paid it, I would suggest doing it now, like right now, within the next hour or two, because many of the organizations need some time in order to distribute the fitrah. So go to one of the relief organizations' websites, or even a masjid. You can go to our masjid website and donate there, and it'll be channeled forward, inshallah. Is there any leadership board for the Quran Quest? No, there's no leadership board, because what I've noticed is if there's a leadership board and you're not in the top few, then people drop out. So because there's no way of a person knowing where they stand, they will keep pushing strong right till the end, inshallah. Is performing Jummah at home still allowed if we can do it? We've actually not been allowing Jummah to be prayed at home. We are praying Dhuhr at home, right? We've been encouraging everyone to pray Salat al-Dhuhr at home. How do you stay motivated post-Ramadan? You continue the actions of Ramadan throughout the rest of the year. That's the point of it, is that you do certain actions throughout the month of Ramadan that you're going to carry through the rest of the year. And so how do you stay motivated post-Ramadan? You continue the actions of Ramadan. Okay. How has Ramadan been for you? Alhamdulillah, Ramadan has been very good for me. Busy, tired, but good, alhamdulillah. Can a female travel without a mahram? Very, very long, complex question. But the point is that we secure the safety of that female. Okay, so secure the safety of the female, and if she's going to be safe throughout that time and the journey is not one that's too difficult or dangerous upon her, then inshallah ta'ala, in a nutshell, this is how I'm going to answer it, because, you know, it's not the greatest way to answer a question that requires a lot more explanation. How is Ramadan? Okay, do you need to have wudu in order to hold the Quran to read it? Okay, there's difference of opinion on that. The best is that you do have wudu. لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. So it's important that we have wudu. However, that verse is referring to those who have belief, iman, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? MashaAllah, the questions are coming in so fast, I don't know if we're going to have time. So it is preferred to have wudu. There's difference of opinion. Some say that it is compulsory to have wudu when touching the Qur'an, and others say that it is preferred to have wudu when holding the Qur'an and using it. Okay? Jazakallahu khairan, Shaykh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Ameen. What is the time of Isha? I heard it is 30 minutes after Maghrib. Is that correct? No, that is not correct. I don't know anywhere that it is 30 minutes after Salat al-Maghrib. So, the best way of knowing when the time for Salat al-Maghrib enters is when you look outside and the sky is black and you no longer see the colors in the sky. That's the beginning of the time of Salat al-Isha. It will vary from country to country to country because of the region on earth that you reside in. So, the best thing is look to your local masjid. On average, we say roughly about an hour and a half after Salat al-Maghrib. Usually it's about an hour and a half after Salat al-Maghrib. But again, it varies from place to place to place because the world is beautiful, alhamdulillah. When you express love for your sibling, do you have to say, I love you for the sake of Allah, or any other way, like, I love you as Allah make us brother and sister? Yeah, you can express yourself how you wish. What website do you use to check if a product is halal or haram? I don't. I actually check if the products are halal or haram themselves, right? So I check the ingredients and I see if it is. And if it isn't, then you email the company and you find out. I don't use any website. I usually don't really eat anything that is doubtful. So alhamdulillah, I don't really have that issue. I'm coming to you very soon for those questions, inshallah. How did Shaitan go to the disbelievers in the Battle of Badr if it was during Ramadan? Okay, good question. We spoke about this earlier, alhamdulillah. You'll have to go back to refer to the videos that we already went through. Can we pray Eid prayers as family in our backyard? Yes, and I'll be releasing a video showing you what to do this Eid, inshallah, okay? Inshallah, jazakallahu khairan. My question is, what is the extent of hiding someone's flaws? That's a loaded question. What is the extent that we go to? Look, if people are doing general mistakes and we hide those, right? But if it's something that's going to affect society, for example, someone who, a principal of a school who assaulted a child, for example, as a simple example, you should speak up about that, right? So, that's an example. There's so many different things. Like if someone, I don't know, was smoking in the middle of the day while fasting, you don't need to expose them, right? Keep it to yourself. That's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's various different levels. It's very hard to answer that generally, okay? Will you explain in brief how to pray Eid at home? Yes, I will. How much is fitra? Fitra is $10 in our masjid this year. How did the shaitan go to the... Okay, we are... do you have an email that you don't mind me contacting you? Jazakallahu khair. I need to ask something. Yes, I do. Message me on Facebook, inshallah, or it's sheikhdaood@gmail.com. So sheikhdaood@gmail.com. Please don't start sending me 1,000 emails, please. I have another email account that has over 10,000 emails in it, and I can't respond to all of them. So please don't start, flooding the questions this way. If you feel like someone is doing some evil or bad behavior, what is the Islamic way to handle this situation? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said three things. مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. If you see something that's bad or evil, then change it physically. If you're in a position of actually being able to do that, like the mother or father of a household, they can take away the iPad or something, or, legal, not legal advisors, like police and so on, they can actually change things in society. And if you're not able to physically change that situation, then you can change it verbally by saying something about it, right? And stopping that person. Or if you're not able to, then just dislike it within your heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Him to help every single one of us in these situations. Especially, okay. We'll go to some of the questions here, inshallah. Forgive me for not being able to take them all in 5 minutes. Okay, we answered that. How is it? Was that Danish? Danish, how are you asking questions on both platforms? You're watching in two places at the same time. Can you have pictures in the home, or do angels not visit a home with pictures? It is preferred to not have pictures inside of your home. It's true that angels do not visit a home where pictures or idols, statues, stuff like that are kept within. Can we fast the missed fasts, including the 6 days of Shawwal, after Eid, or do we have to make them up separately? Some of the scholars allow you to combine your intentions to fast the days that you missed of Ramadan and combine your intention to fast the 6 days of Shawwal as well. I personally like to separate them. That's because, you know, I don't miss many days of fasting throughout the month of Ramadan. And for some people who miss more days, it's more difficult, right? So personally, I like to separate it and I like to keep them separate. There are certain cases where I would say you can merge them. For example, if someone, you know, was ill or missed like 10, 20 days, and for them to fast 20 days plus then make up the 6 days is very difficult. So combine your intention. If a spouse dies, is it permissible in the Sharia that another spouse perform funeral like cleaning, etc.? Yes, it is permissible. Jazakallahu khair for all the lectures you've been giving during Ramadan. They're very beneficial. Allah ybarak feek. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and your family and grant you the best of this life and the hereafter. We'll take one more, inshallah. How much is Zakat al-Fitr per person? It is $10 per person this year. Okay, $10 per person this year. Jazakumullahu khairan, my brothers and sisters. Barakallahu feekum. We only have two more. We only have two more tafsir classes. Can you believe that? So only two more, because we have the 29th juz tomorrow and the 30th juz the following day. And then on the 30th day of Ramadan, we will not have a class leading up to the ending of the day, which is, you know, just before Maghrib. So tomorrow and the day after, the last two classes that we have, inshallah. So I look forward to seeing you. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.